Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. I've been asked to remind everyone that there is a Vacation Bible School meeting today at 5:15 in the Fellowship Hall. So if you're helping with Vacation Bible School or would like to help with Vacation Bible School, please be at that meeting. Vacation Bible School will be the second, third, and fourth Sunday evenings of July. So I'll be looking for that. And I've had a little preview of the theme, and it's going to be great. So I plan on being a part of that and supporting our Vacation Bible School. Go ahead and mark it on your calendars as well. We'll be having adult speakers for the adult class each evening. So this is Vacation Bible School is not just for young folks. It's for everyone. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and in 1971, the U.S. Congress decided to set aside an official Memorial Day. They'd been done through states and regions, and different groups have done some form of Memorial Day for some time, but in 1971, the Congress set forth this day as a day of remembrance for those who lost their life in defense of our country, the men and women who valiantly served and gave their sacrifice, their life, so that we might have freedoms like what we have today to come together in worship. We were called to remember, and God calls us to remember. We've been looking at a series of lessons on worship, and this morning I want us to sort of focus in on memory as worship. In fact, God gave us this capacity for memory. It's a gift from God. It helps us to survive, cope, and have hope. You know, what if you couldn't remember a food that I don't remember eating that, and every time you had to eat something new, you had to determine whether or not it was something you had before, and you didn't have the capacity for that, could put you in some bad circumstances. The ability to cope, sometimes it's our memory of days where we didn't hurt that helps us get through the days that we do hurt, right? Yeah, so for some of us, that was precious memories, right? And we don't hurt when we didn't hurt. So, but to have hope. You know, in the midst of a storm, we can remember sunshine. We can remember better days and better times. So God gave us this capacity for memory, and memory has been something that has been researched. And we're going to look a little bit about that and how that helps us. But three things I want you to remember this morning about memory as a form of worship. Because worship is about the past. Worship is about the present. And worship is about the future. And you cannot hardly worship without your memory working. On some level, whether you remember the past, the present, or the future. So, have you ever experienced that tip of the tongue phenomenon? You knew something, but you couldn't get it out. You just couldn't remember it. I was told of a story. I read a story about a man and his wife, and they were getting to be a little bit older, and they had some friends over, and the wives were in the kitchen, you know, sort of getting the meal prepared, and the couple. The men were sitting in the living room, and the guest asked his host, "Have you done anything interesting lately?" He said, "Yes, I have." He said, "Me and my wife," he says, "we went down to the Senior Citizen Center the other day, and they had this program on how to improve your memory." He said, "Wow." He said, "I could do that." He says, "Well, what did you do?" He says, "Well, they said that your memory works best if you can associate it with something." He said, "Well, that sounds like a good thing." He said, "Well, give me an example of it." He says, He said, "What's the name of that that flower? You know, it's red and it smells real good." He said, "A rose." He said, "That's it, rose." What was some other things they told us the other day, that memory class that they told us? That's funny, just because we can relate to it. But that tip of the tongue phenomenon, you know it. You know it's in there, but you can't get to it. And sometimes it's just so frustrating because you know it's in there. Well, what that's implying is that God gave the ability to know that you have memory. And even though you may not have instant access to it, you knew it. but you just could not retrieve it. It becomes quite interesting when you begin thinking about it. At this point in time, science tells us that long-term memory, that is the capacity to remember things, is not about storage, it's about availability. People say, my memory's bad, but you can remember something that happened eons ago, but you can't remember something that happened. It's the ability to retrieve it. It's the ability to pull it out. Okay, it's not the capacity for storage, because you can remember some pretty silly things at times, but it's the capacity to bring it out. So this is something that we struggle with. It's not that we can't form and make crystallized memories that last for a very, 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 very long time. It's just that, can we pull it back out again? God knows how we're designed. God knows our frame. In fact, Psalms 139, David says, God knows us. Also in that same psalm, I was reading it, and it said that God even knows the words on our tongue before we put them there. God knows everything there is to know about us. And so when he calls us to worship, he knows how we're made, and he tells us worship is about some things. Worship is about what's happening. It's what about happened in the past, definitely. But it's also what's happening in the present. But worship is also about what's happening in the future. As Brother Herm prayed a few moments ago, if we can just imagine seeing what we're going to see in heaven, and how that might transform us in the here and now to think about the future, but also remember what Christ has done for us in the past. So worship is bringing all these things, the present, the past, and the future, together in a moment. God gave us memory, I believe, for many reasons. But he gave us our memory as a means of worship. We make associations. It evokes things. It brings things out. It can transcend us across time and place and bring us to a moment of experience in our life. Those worshipful experiences can be transformational in our life. And God wants us to remember. You look around you. Okay. And you know, and you can be impressed with this. That in this auditorium this morning, our collective capacity for memories exceeds that of the supercomputers they create. Isn't that amazing? Think of all the things that computers do today. But computers have a finite capacity for memory. I mean, that you remember, you know, we used to buy RAMs and then we got gigs and stuff like that. But there's a capacity for every computer that it's full. It won't go take any more. But you can create new memories each and every moment of your life. And collectively, we have the capacity for memory that exceeds the supercomputer. It's a pretty impressive thing when you think about it. There's no simple thing that God says, oh, when you come together for worship, I want you to come together for worship. I want your collective experiences of the memories, the past, the present, and the future, to come into one holy moment together, collectively. The Hebrew writer said that in order to do this, we may be able to stir up love and good works, but I want you to have this experience together. God knows our capacity. But the problem is, it's our availability. You only use what you use. Neuroscience tells us that we go through something called synaptic pruning. If you don't use it, you lose it. Your memory is a lot more like a muscle than anything. The more you use it, the better it gets. And the more you retrieve it, the more it's easy to retrieve. And God says, I know how you're made. I know you have a tendency to do forgetting. Sometimes it's selective forgetting. So I don't want you to get too far away from me. I want you to come together. I want you to worship me. I want you to collectively assemble and focus on me. And so God says, I want you to remember. I want you to practice remembering. I don't want you to ever forget. And so we talked about last week that he puts prompts in us. Use the Lord's Supper as a prompt to remember. Use the songs as a prompt to remember and to encourage, to bring each other to the same moment. Use their prayers as a ways of remembrance and acknowledgement. that something is happening now and something has happened and something will happen in the future, God wants us to remember. So the first point, worship is about the past. God has called his people over and over and over again to remember. And he also wants to remember what he has done for them. Remember when he implemented the Passover and he says, I want you to have a memorial meal. And he says in Exodus chapter 12, 14, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep the feast by everlasting ordinance. So God says, okay, remember this. Very often when people had these profound experiences, they would stack rocks up and say, something happened here. It's very special. They would want to have something to help them remember. Jesus, taking off the context of the Passover meal in Luke chapter 19, he gave them the bread and says, do this in remembrance of me. God calls us to use our memory as a way to connect with one another and to connect with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says that Jesus said to take, eat, this my body, do in remembrance of me. So part of what we're called to do in memory is to remember what has happened in the past. That God has said that he wants us to not forget the stories of how his people have been blessed by him, have been guided by him, have been protected by him, have been delivered by him, not forget what Jesus has done for us in making his people, the sacrifice that we have through him and what he did on the cross. You see, that recalling, that bringing back up again, time and time again, just strengthens the presence of the memory for us forever. But also in doing that, it makes us to have ability to relate to the story that God is revealing in our own lives. So worship is also about the present. When we assemble, we are creating new memories. At the best, they are our combined experiences with the love, with the God we love, the Savior who we serve. So when we think about our experiences, and you think about over the course of your life, there's just some maybe services that just really connected with you that you will never forget. And each one of you had that experience. Maybe it was some day in which someone you love responded to the gospel and you got to witness their new birth. Or maybe it was just some day when just something was said or something was experienced. Or you had just a strong conviction in your heart and your life that just, God is great. And God is good. Or you're just touched or moved and transformed in some way. You see, when we assemble, there's nothing insignificant happening. It's profoundly significant. And you just never know when and where God will show up. And even as I'm talking this morning, some of you are remembering. You're thinking about, you're here right now, but you're thinking about past experiences in worship. Past meaningful experiences. Maybe it was the day that you became a Christian. Maybe it was the day that something just snapped in you, something just clicked in you, and you just saw things from a whole different light and perspective. But so worship is about what we're happening now, that something's supposed to be happening. And the Hebrew writer said that we're supposed to stir up love and good works, but the psalmist said in Psalms 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. I think worship just reminds us of God's blessings. What do you got to be thankful to God for? I mean, we sometimes sing this song, not on a regular basis, but it's a good song. You know, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. So worship has that immediate present experience. Now, sometimes when I'm evaluating people in my practice, doing testing on them, you know, I'll face that memory. So I have the worst short-term memory. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. Now, what's interesting now, as science describes that, that's not short-term memory. That's actually long-term memory. So anything happens just a few past seconds before right now is long-term memory. So long-term is from a little while ago to a long time ago, but it's all really long-term memory. Short-term memory is what we hold in just immediate presence. But the reality is that right now, things are happening in your brain. God designed it. God's experiencing it. He designed it for the intent and purpose. And so calling up the benefits of God, bringing them and evoking them into the moment is transforming you. We know that gratitude affects people positively. If you want a better outlook, be more grateful. You want to sort of change your perspective, keep a list of things to be thankful for. You don't like people better? Find good things to like about them and make a list of it. Hebrew writers chapter 13, verse 6 says, "Do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleasant." So in the present moment, I'm not to forget. I'm not to forget to do good and to share, to find some meaning in community, to find meaning and purpose, to do good to my fellow man in this very moment. So memory is about what's happening also right now. God also gives us memory as a means to correct ourselves. He expects us to use it and to keep ourselves on the right path. You remember the game concentration where you took all the cards and you put them face down and you try to remember and match them up? Okay. So your thing is to take something just happened and just learned and apply it to something you're learning right now in the very moment. And so God gave us capacity sometimes to use memory to keep us on the right path. And so God calls us to call the present into the past and to see what we do with it. In the book Revelation, Jesus speaks to the church at Ephesus and asks them this, to remember what it used to be like. To remember what it was to have your first love. To remember the passion that you had for me, for each other, for the body of Christ. Remember this. Remember where you were. To repent and do the first works. So this is what he calls them to do. He calls them back to remembrance and to reconnect to where they were by taking the point where they are now to compare it to where they were and to bring it into the future. And finally, worship is about the future. When we remember all the promises of God, we're bringing into the moment a future that has not yet been experienced, but only accessible to us through our memory and our capacity to create new ones. We sing songs about heaven, but we've not got there yet. But we know from our memory everything we've been taught about it. You know, we sing, when all of God's singers get home. And it's a very uplifting song in many respects, but you know what? We're talking about a future that we've not yet experienced, but we only remember it from what we've already been told about it. But in the present moment, we're bringing the three things together, the past, the present, the future, and anticipating a reality that we've yet experienced. But we do it collectively together. So worship is about the past, the present, and the future. In the Lord's Supper, Paul said that the Lord told him that as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord's Supper is a beautiful experience of that past, present, future worship. It's an act of remembrance we do in the present moment and looking forward to something else, right? And God knows how we're wired and how we're designed. the Hebrew writer tells us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of God. So right now, in this moment, I look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of faith, who because of what he did in the past, the shame of the cross, he's now at the right hand of God where I will be. You see, remember when Moses experienced God in the wilderness at the bush? And he says, well, who do I tell Pharaoh that sent me? And what does he say? The I Am. God's here right now in our midst. He's present, fully present. And we know him from our past knowledge, but we also know him from our future hope. You see, worship is an act of memorial. It's an act of remembering. Worship is about the past. Worship is about the present. Who are you in Christ? And what does that mean to you? And worship is about the future. What do you hold in your heart of hearts, in your hope of the future? This passage was one that as I was working on this lesson, it wouldn't leave me alone. And there's passages like that. I don't know if, you know, John Ross, other people have preached or done lessons. If you've ever had a verse that just wouldn't leave you alone and you think, well, that had nothing to do with what I'm doing now, so why does that verse keep bothering me? And this is what I walked away with. You're familiar with this verse. We all have seen it. We've all heard it. You know, that do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, as 1,000 years is one day. And I thought, this has nothing to do with the point I was wanting to make. And finally I had this revelation that maybe it does. We assemble for worship, and it is a past, present, future experience. But let's all be real honest. We have a really hard time focusing sometimes. Okay? We have a hard time doing that. Some of us a little bit more than others. I tend to be pretty far on the ADHD spectrum scale. So a squirrel running by the window gets my attention. Oh, the squirrel, you know. So, you know, some of us struggle in maintaining the frame of this moment because, you know, we're hungry. We're thinking about what's for lunch, you know, or what of the work we've got to do, or what. We really, really struggle sometimes in being fully present. Am I saying something that doesn't relate to? Everyone relates to being fully present. You know, in worship, struggle with that sometimes? No, we all have. I mean, some of you know, sort of, you know, drifted off this morning, but anyways. But what if a moment in my life where me focusing fully for God, fully on God and what He's done in my past, that present, and the future, and just one moment of time is equal to God for 100 years or 1,000 years. Or just because I've invoked God in my life in this one moment, to God it's everything. And to me it's nothing, because my next moment's on somewhere, something else. But because God doesn't measure time the way we do, God says, wow, you were present with me. You used that gift of memory and you invoked me. You invoked my son. You remembered what I've done and what I am doing and what I'm yet to do. Oh, how he's joyed. Because God doesn't measure and God doesn't say, okay, well, you've kept 30 minutes of undivided attention. Good for you. What if it's just a moment in time when I'm fully present with the Lord and sharing this with other people in Christ? God says, you do love me. You do love me. Because that time thing, that's about you all. That's not about me. And so sometimes, even though we struggle in worship with feeling that the quality is not what we want it to be or what we aspirationally think we ought to do, just understand that by the fact that you're simply doing it, that God is glorified. And God is well pleased. So we bring this lesson to an end this morning. If we can maybe help you make this day something very memorable to you, rather, by making this the day of your commitment to the Lord, or perhaps you choosing to make a statement of encouragement. You need assistance. You need prayers. We're here for you. We're always here for you, though. But Chris has chosen a song to give us a space of time. If someone here this morning needs to use this time, we encourage you to do so, that we might love on you a little bit and share your love with the Lord. So, Chris, why don't you lead us in that song right now?